B3. Number 14B.
So, finally, we come to the last chapter, the Apocalypse, that terrific chapter which always embraces the whole teaching of the textbook and sums it up and gives to that textbook a climax. And there are very few references in it. Though, actually, that whole chapter deals a lot with that serpent and with that red dragon that becomes bigger and bigger and that is thrown out from heaven and so on. In spite of all that battle, disease is or healing is mentioned but a few times, and in a very interesting way. She shows there that it is actually truth prism that heals. Now, truth prism, we know, is science. With the symbol of the prism, you know, she takes that prism as that which shows that science is that which can take the infinite one and analyze that infinite one and categorize that infinite one and bring out all the hues of divinity. The prism stands really for that wonderful scientific method of reducing the infinite to a system. So we feel here, oh, I see now what she's supposed to say. She says that if we are using the scientific methodology, that is the pinnacle of healing. Again, she says that studying the textbook would heal. We had it already once, that textbook, you know, in the 13th chapter, that she said that we should read the textbook. Yes, we had it in the 13th chapter, that reading science and health is necessary to heal. But here it is not reading. Here she says, ponder it. Read it from the first page to the last page. Again, can you see the consistency of science is indicated? The ordered sense of scientific thinking is indicated. Not just reading, not just studying here and there and so on, but she said, read it from beginning to end. The first time she does that. So, can you see with these symbolisms, she indicates that here healing is really showing, using the whole scientific method of a science, it's science as science here, whole scientific method of science in order to heal. It isn't anymore that she is indicating here that you have to have the Christ spirit, that you have to have Christian qualities. She doesn't say that it is mind that is the medicine. Here she lifts it right up and says, you see, if you have truth prism, if you can see the infinite, how the infinite can be reduced to a divine system, and therefore see that system in its consistency, so that everything from beginning to end, from the first page to the last page, makes sense, and is therefore interrelated in order into that system, that's really your attitude for healing. That does the trick. Perhaps we could epitomize it. It's not so easy. We perhaps could say the scientificalness of science heals. But it is the scientificalness of science that heals. Yes? How now shall we epitomize the whole vertical there? Well, we have seen she speaks practically in every chapter in one way or the other about Christian Science. In the 13th chapter she says, what makes a Christian scientist? What qualifies us to be a Christian scientist? In recapitulation she says that Christian Science proves itself through a system. In Genesis, there. He doesn't really indicate that it is science. It may be that I haven't seen it properly. I don't know. I would have to go over it. But it just brings out that in God there is no record of disease. But then again, in Apocalypse, he shows that the scientificalness of Christian Science is actually that which heals. Really makes science the acme. So it may be that that chapter on Genesis I may not have seen properly, or that we have to see there something more clear about it. So that the whole last vertical would indicate that it is really Christian Science heals. I would just put it that way. That Christian Science, we must put the accent really, on Christian Science heals. Yes, as epitome. Christian Science heals. So it isn't Christian Science heals. It's Christian Science now that heals. Yeah. So we would have now our epitomes of the verticals, and just run through that vertical quickly to the index I, and what would we now find here as a further reduction of the 16th chapter to those four standpoints of Word, Christ, Christianity and Science. So we would have to think about it and say, now what is now the pith of it, and feel the Word first ask that big question, how on earth do we get and attain spiritual healing power? So it more or less tells us, look here, spiritual healing power is not something that you just have. But also, don't say, I have it not. And so I don't have it, and that's the end of it. I just have no spiritual healing power because you have never tried it out and because you have never used it. The Word says, look here, there must be an approach to that subject, an ordered approach. And there must be a way how to attain spiritual healing power. And so she shows through the four how to attain it. Then, when you have come to the fourth chapter, you are led to the second vertical, which now shows, but you know that spiritual healing power is truth itself. It has nothing to do with you. It is truth, the Christ truth that heals. And it heals not through you, but it heals through mind. So it impersonalizes the whole healing power and puts it right back into the synonymous terms and says, you know, in being there is such a thing as a truth, and that truth is the truth about everything, and therefore the truth establishes itself as health the moment we see that truth and see that it acts through the medicine of mind and no more through thinking. Therefore, what should we do? Whenever we come to Christianity, we come to the using of it, and therefore what should we do in order that that Christ healing power operates? So Christianity says, therefore, lift the whole situation, all the problems, lift them right up to see it as perfect principle and perfect idea. See that healing is based on fulfillment, on perfection, and never leave the standpoint of perfection. It is not a return to perfection, but it is that our basis is the divine principle, perfect idea. If we see that and investigate what this principle is, what perfect principle and perfect idea is, then we investigate the science of this principle. And so the last column says it's actually that science that stands behind that principle is that which enables you to heal. You have the last column of sign, which makes us realize really that when we have gone through all these steps, that we have arrived at the point where we begin now. The end is now the beginning. Where we see, all right, then actually the beginning is that I begin to investigate that science. Can you see? So you have gained the feedback, you have gained that a cybernetic, self-organizing system which says the moment you have an input and the process and an output, you have a feedback again. That feeds you back again to the input. And so science says, all right, now you begin. Now you have seen what heals. It is Christian science that heals. That Christian science heals how? Through the truth and through mind. So investigate science. And therefore we cannot feel, all right, I have now read linearly or in an ascending way, linearly, a process that goes from prayer to apocalypse, and when I'm there, I'm there. No, when we are there, we are not there. Huh? Then we are at the beginning. Then we begin to realize that we need truth prism to heal. And that truth prism is that we read the textbook now, that we ponder the textbook from beginning to end, and begin to see now and investigate now the whole structure of the Christian Science textbook, the whole teaching of Christian Science, and in the measure as we imbibe that body of principle, which it says, take it, eat it up, this is your body, the may we imbibe now the body of the system of Christian Science, that is that which within us has the healing power. Don't say that it is not beautiful. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. It is terrific. It is terrific. And so, in a way, we can see here, I would say, a new way of looking at treatment, at healing. We were saying yesterday I have to finish the sentence now. We have seen yesterday that in teaching Christian Science, the teacher would give their own line of reasoning and their own line of giving a treatment, and that they usually had that line of treatment from experience. It was an empirical method. And that we said, but there must be a scientific method. There must be in this Christian Science textbook a whole teaching about healing, so that we can go back to the textbook itself and ask the textbook itself, what kind of healing way, method of healing do you teach? And we asked the textbook, and we couldn't find another method than to say, let's investigate what Mrs. Eddy says about healing in each chapter. So in this way we have found, so to say, a new method of practice, which tells us very nicely, step by step, what are the demands on us to fulfill. First prayer with the atonement and Eucharist, and then marriage, and we come here, as you see, not into a mental treatment that you have felt, that it is not the way of thinking now, that it is now a life treatment, a living treatment, a treatment that touches in every chapter the life core of our being and says that life motion is really the power to heal. Because every chapter is a chapter which we can only fulfill by making it our own. And they are not one of them is teaching how to think. Not one of them. They all are showing the spirit and the living aspect of being. So, I forgot that we have not yet finished our matrix, but that we should also see, is it actually a true matrix? In other words, are the horizontals right? Is there a common denominator running through the horizontal lines? So let's see horizontally, you know where we are, that in the horizontal we take the index J, which give us the horizontal denominators. In the word, tentatively I felt that here she gives the proposed basis for healing. First she has a proposed basis of healing. Or she proposes what is the basis of healing. Let's just run quickly through our epitomes and see what kind of basis does she propose, from where to start. In prayer, she says, well, your basis is right at the beginning, you have to make up your mind. Do you want to heal through spirit or through belief? Through spiritual consciousness or through blind faith, blind belief, faith in God, faith healing, or do you want spiritual understanding? What do you want? That's my basis from which I have to go out. In animal magnetism, she would say, and your basis cannot be animal magnetism. Don't take animal magnetism as a basis because you see it works. See, we always feel animal magnetism doesn't heal. Yes, animal magnetism does heal. That's quite true. There's no question about it. The whole history of animal magnetism, I tried to show that history in my book on animal magnetism, that it has effect on the body. I wouldn't perhaps call it healing, but I would say that it has an effect on the body which changes the symptoms. Let's put it that way. Or which heals the body. It doesn't heal men, but it heals the body. And today, just look into your country, this is perhaps the outstanding example of today of animal magnetism. You have animal magnetism in hundreds of different forms today, preached all over the place, in all kinds of ideology and isms and groups and so on. That whole country is full of it now. It's all animal magnetism. The common denominator is animal magnetism. You can take biofeedback, it's animal magnetism. You can take EST, it's animal magnetism. You can take whatever you like, alpharism and by the dozens and by the hundreds today. You can look at them. They are all having their fruits and their effects. But the common denominator is animal magnetism. If we talk about animal magnetism, we shouldn't just think of dear old Mesmer and Quimby. By the way, they were wonderful men, both of them. The Christian Scientists treat them as if they were the devil let loose, but they're wonderful people. They were real big people. Not only were they doing a lot of good and were great humanitarians, both of them, and did a lot of good, but why do we blame them that they couldn't see what they are doing? They were ignorant. Can we blame them so much that they didn't know what they were doing? They found a new phenomena and couldn't explain it. Is there something bad about that? And when one sees that it has taken 200 years to really explain Mesmer's method and to see what it is, then one sees what a terrific impact Mesmer has made at that time in the history. Because Mesmer, at that time, for at least 100 years, was the one that has to be studied and to be known and was discussed in the highest circle in European cities. And even today you have more articles and books coming out on Mesmer than ever before. He is still quite an interesting phenomenon. So let's see that what is called mesmerism and animal magnetism is called today in all kinds of forms, from psychology, psychiatry, all that, they are all varying forms of just one thing, animal magnetism. The belief that there is power in the mortal mind, that mortal mind has power to change phenomena. That's animal magnetism. If you have Uri Geller, well, that's animal magnetism. All these people, it's all animal magnetism. The belief that there is a power apart from God which can change the phenomena. So in a way, this renaissance, so to say, of mesmerism is quite a good sign, because it awakens people again to the fact that there is another so-called reality there besides matter, that the mental is a realm that has to be taken serious, that has to be investigated seriously. Before that time, in the good 20s and 30s, I remember, still there was that terrific sense of hard, substantial materialism. Everything that was of the nature of mentality and psychology was just ridiculed still at that time. And today, nobody does ridicule anymore if somebody feels the mental is also a realm that has to be taken into consideration. So at least that has been brought about. Oh, now I lost my thread. We were trying to go horizontally through the word, and we said in prayer we have as a basis that we seek as a basis of healing a spiritual consciousness. Then, as another basis, we should see that animal magnetism is no basis for us, that it is not the true basis, though it does change the phenomena. Then in the chapter creation, we come to another basis, namely that the basis of healing is now principle and idea. See, prayer hasn't said that yet. Now, in Christianity only, she shows that this basis must be a perfect principle and a perfect idea. And then she comes to teaching and says, but you have to be that principled idea, or else you can't heal. You can only heal by what you are, and not by what you are thinking. My English gets very Americanized. Actually, my Swiss English gets Americanized. So can you see the basis, from which you start? Then we can take the horizontal, Christ. I felt that perhaps we could epitomize it as the manifestation of healing power. The manifestation of healing power. Actually, you know, what it means is to show here how that basis in the Word does manifest itself. How it has a Christ, and how can we bring it to manifestation? How is it brought to manifestation? And here again you have a great gradation as we go on horizontally. First in Atonement and Eucharist, it's so to say a human effort that you make by laying down the, what did we say? All that is not Christ-like. So there it starts. You have to manifest something. You have to act according to something. You are called upon to do something. That's the manifestation for healing power. Then, in the sixth chapter, we see that Christian Science presents now the principle of this manifestation, how healing power can be manifest, and says it can be manifest through truth and mind. That's how it can be manifested. Then, in Science of Being, it shows, and if you learn it, that if you let yourself be instructed in the scientific idea, you can manifest healing power. Everyone can learn it, then you can manifest it. And finally, we come to recapitulation, which says, but you know, Christian Science does manifest itself and does prove itself through a metaphysical system. So Christian Science does heal. It manifests itself. When we come to Christianity, then we make a nice break and we go on tomorrow.